Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
It's time for us now to get into our daily focus for today, and our daily focus is on tithing and beyond. We're supposed to have Pastor Cliff Lizu. Pastor Lizu is going to be joining us to give us some perspective. And as Pastor Lizu gives us some perspective on a life of generosity, which is what we're talking about this whole week, I want you to join in and participate. If you have any questions, please feel free to call us and share with us your questions. Pastor Lizu, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much, my moderator. Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to our listeners too.
Today we're talking about tithing, and tithing is a foundational practice for many Christians, or it should be. But stewardship goes far beyond the tithe, just 10% or the tenth. How can we align all our financial decisions with faith, demonstrating trust in God's provision? Well, to get some help here, we've invited you to just walk us through this and dive into these principles of financial stewardship with us. So let me begin by saying, what exactly does the Bible say about the purpose of tithing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful subject indeed. The Bible there is very clear when it talks about tithing. We can read together, dear listeners, from the book of Leviticus chapter 27, Leviticus 27, reading on verse 30. My Bible there says from the New King James Version, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's." And it ends by saying, "It is holy to the Lord." So the Bible's perspective about tithing is important. Tithing is a sign of love. Tithing is a sign of our obedience and loyalty to God. And above all, it is holy to the Lord. So in fact, the rightful term there, dear listeners, that we can use in paying tithe is not paying tithe or taking tithe, but rather returning tithe, because we are thanking God for who he is, what he's done for us, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so the purpose of tithing is what exactly, Mfunis?
The purpose of tithing is that we acknowledge God as our creator and show our loyalty to him. In other ways, it's obedience, loyalty, and acknowledging God as our creator.
Talk to us about financial generosity and its impact on one's faith and trust in God.
All right. How can this financial generosity impact our faith? It makes us realize, it changes our thinking, and it makes us realize that that God's Spirit really lives in us. And what is God's Spirit? The Spirit of being able to share what we have to give and put other people's interests first, or rather being able to sympathize with people. So what impact comes there is that the realization that the Spirit of God lives in us. And we can read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, but I can just consider verse number 7, where Scripture says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, for God loves a cheerful giver." You can read all the other verses in your own time. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. So the impact that it gives in our faith in trusting God is it makes us realize that God's Spirit, the Spirit of goodness, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of care, the Spirit of realizing that, yes, we are not on our own. We have other colleagues that I need. It makes us realize that, well, this is no other than the Spirit of God living in us. So we don't live anyhow. We live somehow, knowing that it is God who has put us in this environment so we can share our blessings to others.
So what are some of the ways to balance saving, balance it with spending, and giving as a believer?
Okay. How can we balance saving? Well, giving should come from the heart. So we should not give, to say, well, at least somebody has already mentioned my name, in the group, so this money. I had reserved it to be able to buy something for my school going child or some gift for my wife. Well, the balance that we should put there is as we spend, we should, as we give or spend out, we should be able to do that from our hearts, knowing that we have already assessed all the angles, and we've stricken a balance between what we have in totality and what we are ready to give up, what is available for us to give up. So we should be able to strike that balance so that we do not give out of grudgingly to say, well, just because I've appeared in this, you know, particular event, if I don't give again, they'll say, yeah, he's got money, but then he's not giving. So we should strike a balance knowing that as we give, our hearts should also be at peace, and we should be happy. And that's the way God will give us more blessings. The more we give when we have, not when we don't have. The more we give when we have and are able to spare, the more the Lord will bless us with more.
You know, perhaps even that, Mpunis, we could just expand on that. The issue of, you know, you give and you give and you sacrifice and you give, Mpunis. And while you're sacrificing, your family is suffering because when you're busy giving to the church. And it's something needs to be clarified. How can you give sacrificially without neglecting your family's needs?
Well, here now, dear listeners, dear friends, brothers and sisters, do an assessment, you see. You are assessing between giving, which is important, correct, and family. And the other, if we have a word like that, one is at least more important than the other. So strike a balance. Look at the assessment, giving and the family. And the scripture, you know, to you and I that are believers out there, scripture admonishes us from the book of 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, 8. Scripture there says, provide for your family, you know. And if you are unable to provide for your family, you are worse off than an unbeliever. So meaning a believer should be able to first provide for his family. And if, take note of that conditional word, if that believer has extra on them, then they can give. Don't find yourself, dear listener, in a situation where your kids are crying home, you don't have bread or you don't have enough food, but then you are there out there trying to give out to somebody. That kind of giving is not really blessed by the Lord, because let your field, let your bands, let your territory, your environment, your gets be satisfied first. Then when you are done, you will be able to give out. If you give out without really ensuring that the needs of your family are met, then heaven, unfortunately, will not approve your giving. You will give, but there's no record that is going in the book of remembrance in heaven. You will give sacrificially, and yet you're just sacrificing to man, not really sacrificing to God. Yeah, I think that's what I can say there.
Wow, that came out on the left side. I never imagined you're going to say that, Mpunis. So every time we listen to you ministers talk to us about giving and tithing in particular, you preach and teach that first return the tithe, then you can do with the rest as you please. Now you're saying, Mpunis, you must take care of your family first, and then if you have something remaining, then you can give God what remains. It seems to be going at cross purposes.
Great, great question, great question. Now you're specific there to say, now it is God we are talking about. Well, the same God we need to return to, when it comes to returning to Him, He is the first priority. So give to God, then use the rest. What examples do we have before I continue to answer? We have the woman, that should be 1 Kings 17, and the Elijah experience in Zarephath. She says, well, I just have a little. She had something, but it was a little just for her and the son probably. Then after that, they don't know where the next will come from. But then he says, wouldn't you mind just preparing that same thing you have for me first, and then the rest you will use for yourself? The question is, where is the rest going to come from? So when it comes to giving God, whatever little or much he's given you, whatever he's given to you, make him as priority. Don't say, this is too little, let me keep it to myself, I think I'll return later. No, when it comes to God, which is our number one priority, we give to him, and he's a fair God. He's one-tenth of whatever we have. And so when we give to him as first priority, we will be able to use the rest. Where did it come from? Well, boom, he will multiply it. But when it comes to we've already given God and we've remained with little, then the same little that has remained, they change. Our colleague, our friend says, no, help me here. If we don't have, it's not wrong to say, no, my brother, you know, brother, I think right now I really don't have. And you are right. If you really don't have, then you don't have. Unless you have, then you're saying, no, I don't have. No, like that, it doesn't work. I hope it is clear, my moderator.
My final question, Mpunis, what steps can you take to manage finances with integrity and generosity?
Okay, management of finances, very, very cardinal. And by the way, before I answer, most of the, during Jesus' time and during his teachings, his life and teachings, he talks more about proper management of finances. He talks more about money because money is important. What's wrong is just the love of money, but money, very, very good thing. So this very important thing, how do we manage it? Number one, we can spend. When it comes to spending, let us spend within our means. Don't spend to please people because it's you who works for that. It's you who sweats, you know, 6 days, you toil for that particular money. So number one, spend within your means. If you have enough to buy this and then you've already budgeted for cooking oil, you've budgeted for your shoes and for other necessities and Zesco bills, spend within your means. Don't be extravagant. You want a very, very big house. You're not even married yet. You want a five-bedroom house. You have only two children. So just spend within your means.
Okay.
Number two, cut out on luxuries. There's this tendency of wanting, a big car, a big machine, you know. But even a small car goes to the same filling station where this big car goes and, you know, gets the same diesel and the same petrol. And it has a steering and four tires as well, just like the big machine. It will take you where you go at work.
Right.
It will take you to church and preach and get back home. No, I'm a pastor. I need a big, big machine. And so you're strangling yourself. So cut out on luxuries and focus on basics.
All right.
The other is before I retire, this one will be the last one. The next one is pray for divine guidance whenever you receive finances. You know, there are times when we receive finances, the message pops on the phone, and hey, even all the beautiful plans that you had, they vanish away. Mm. What comes is just some silly, silly, small, you know, useless things that are there. Mm. And you only realize that the important things haven't yet been sorted out when the money is almost on E.
Right.
You know, so whenever the money comes, before you have high blood pressure, pray to God for divine guidance. Lord, please tie my hands, handcuff me, you know, so that I remove, withdraw slowly, you know, and use money for the right person. Even when it finishes, I'll say, well, I have done the
essentials.
That's proper money.
Right.
Yes. Then finally, always return what belongs to God. Return to him. I think if we do that, then we'll manage. And many more. If we do that, we will manage.
Pastor Lizul Chinyama, thank you very much for your time.
thank you.
Again tomorrow. We're still continuing along the very same vein for the whole week. Have a wonderful day, Father Mpunis.
Thank you. God bless you, my moderator.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.